good to see you this evening, and certainly trust that you've come praying. We did enjoy the time together with you last night, the time today, and I do need your prayers tonight. I want to talk to you, Lord willing, tonight about the road ahead. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's a lot been said about what's gone on over the last several years. But in my nearly 62 years here on this earth, I've seen a lot of change. And getting old ain't all it's cracked up to be. So all you young folks, just to let you know, one day you're going to get old.
That's right. Yeah.
But I've seen a lot happening since 1956. Now, I know I don't look that old, but I was born in 1956. In the 1970s, I seen the state of California legalize no-fault divorces, which legalized adultery. 1973, the Supreme Court legalized murder of unborn children. In June of 2015, a man walked into a Charleston church while people was trying to study God's word and took a gun and killed folks while they was in God's house. That shooting was not a political event, but it was quickly turned into one. I've never owned a Confederate flag and don't plan on ever owning one. But I would love the opportunity to witness to blacks, Latinos, and Asians about the eternal work of salvation by God's sovereign grace.
Absolutely.
I'd love that.
Yes.
Now I'm from the South. I've got the heritage of the South, so don't take me wrong. But you know what? There's some things we need to get over.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to come up in the time of segregation. I can remember, and probably 72 or 73, when the first blacks came into Milton High School. And they were a lot more scared than we were. So I know what it's like to be in the South and live in segregation. But I love talking to people about God's word. I don't care what color they are.
That's right. Amen, brother.
And this shooting, and not just that one, but others that's happened since then, has been used as a political opportunity to divide us by race. I'm talking about the road ahead. Because if we're not moving forward, we're sitting still. And as Jeremiah says if we're not moving forward, we're going backwards.
Amen.
And we don't need to go backwards. We've gone backwards long enough.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
The only division that we need or should have is between believers and unbelievers. And there shouldn't be no union there. I mean, the scriptures have said don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But I've said all of that to read this scripture as my opening text. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 28. Galatians 3 and 28. I'm not going to read it till I quit hearing your pages rattling. Y'all keep your pages rattling. I like it.
Amen.
Everybody there? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ.
Amen.
And if ye be Christ, apostrophe S, his possession.
Amen. Right.
And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And if you're an heir, that means you've been written into somebody's will, you've been born into a family, or you've been adopted.
Right.
And he says here to this church that had divisions and wanted to go backwards instead of forwards to incorporate the law service,
that's right,
and circumcision and all those things that Paul said, we don't need, I want you to quit perverting the gospel that I taught you.
Amen.
And established you on.
Amen.
And he said, within the church, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That takes out race, folks. There's neither bond nor free. That gets the rich folks and the poor folks together. And men and women.
Amen.
Now there's responsibilities for men in the church and women in the church.
Sure.
And we need to know that. But when it comes to membership of the church,
right,
we're all the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I'm the head of my household.
Yeah.
God holds me responsible for that woman and my children. Not as much now as when they were living in my house. Well, God held me responsible. But when I come to Shoal Creek Church and as a member, guess what I have to change to? I have to become part of the bride. And I have to be submissive to my husband, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right. Exactly.
Men have to take on two roles in the church. As the bride's supposed to be submissive to their husband, as the members are to Jesus Christ, and the men are to be the head of the household as God establishes them, then we in turn have to be the bride and be submissive to our husband. And he says there's neither Jew nor Greek. Let's take race out of it. Let's take out social status.
Amen.
Bond or free. Male and female. And if ye be Christ, I love it.
Oh yeah, me too.
Then you're Abraham's seed.
That's right.
Wait a minute. I ain't got a bit of Jew blood in me.
But
I've been grafted in, thank the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm an heir.
Yes.
I'm an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
Brother asked me how many siblings I had. I got, there's four of us boys. And as my daddy said, all he says, all my girls is boys. I've heard him say that a million times. But me and my brothers are equal heirs of my daddy. Which ain't going to be a whole lot when he passes on. But whatever's there is going to be divided up equally between four boys. But when we get to glory, we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There ain't no equal heirs there. We're joint heirs.
Amen.
That everybody's going to have everything just alike.
Amen.
I love inheritance. I love to preach on inheritance. Because you don't do anything to get it. I didn't do anything to become Raymond Edward and Florine Cagle's son. I was passive in that.
Yes.
They were the one that was active.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you become an heir is to be born into a family, adopted into a family, and written into somebody's will. And that covers all three of us, all the heirs of promise. Yes. We're all three.
Amen.
You can't be left out. That same month that shooting happened in Charleston, South Carolina, the Supreme Court legalized sodomy marriages. Same month. There was a lot happened then, but we've got the road ahead. There may be some hills we got to go over and valleys we got to go through and some boulders we may have to go around. But there's issues facing the church today that we've got to take head on.
Amen.
And these three that he talked about right here, race, social status, and male and female, is not one of them. What is marriage? It was the very first institute that God established after he created. We go through all the creation. All 6 days. And he says it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, and it's very good. And then God says it's not good. Well, what's not good? If everything's good, he says, it's not good for man to be alone.
Amen.
And he made him a helpmeet. Not a helpmate, a helpmeet.
Right.
And he took a bone from Adam's side. He didn't take one from his foot. He didn't take one from his head. He took one from his side that man and woman would walk side by side the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "This." And Adam said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And those two were naked and not ashamed.
Amen.
That's the first wedding ceremony.
That's right.
Right there. And God established marriage between one man, one woman, married, living together the rest of their lives. That's what marriage is. Anything outside of that is a perversion and an abomination to God. Not Randall Cagle, but according to God's word. But there's issues facing the church today. And they'll either say, you're going to have to compromise, or we're going to crush you. That's what they'll say. There's a lot of things going on with attitudes today. And one of the attitudes today is that they've created the 11th commandment. Thou shalt be nice. And if you take a stand on what God's eternal word says on morality, on truth, on marriage, somebody will come to you and say, you're just not being nice.
That's right.
And someone probably between the age of 18 and 35 will confront you because they're more offended by you raising the issue than they are by the thing that offends God. And they're more offended by you being a Christian and taking a stand than they are by the abomination that they shake their fist in God's face over. This is the road ahead we've got, folks. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. I know Brother Gary loves the book of Isaiah. He's already been talking about how that he's going to be studying the book of Isaiah with y'all and going through it. But there's some thoughts that's been on my mind. And a lot of these thoughts that I've had here has been on my mind all week. And you preachers that's here knows what I'm fixing to say, and other you don't know, but I've come here and had three different subjects on my mind. But I didn't know which night I wanted to, and that's the hardest thing to try to know which night you're going to try to preach on what subject. And I knew this was going to be a hard one. But there's issues facing the church that we're going to have to confront head on. And we don't need to be doing it on our own power, but we need to be doing it through the authority of God's word. And we've got his authority in his word. It's so hard to find a place to start in Isaiah. You go to the first chapter and it don't start out well. I mean, here's some people that are God's people, but he says all sinful nation are laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord and provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they've gone away backward. Why? Because they hadn't faced the road ahead. But chapter number 5, verse number 20 says, I don't like to preach on the woes because they hit. I know that I might be pointing my finger at you, but you know what? I got three pointed right back at me. So, but he says, woe unto them that call evil good and call good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put sweet for bitter, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own eyes. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteous of the righteousness of him. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that call light darkness and darkness light and bitter sweet and sweet bitter. He's talking about euphemisms here. And a euphemism is to substitute something that is not agreeable for something that is agreeable. And we've done that in my lifetime, especially over the last 25 years. We've tried to call good evil and evil good. And he said, woe unto them. See, we want to take something that we would say is offensive. And how much do you hear today that, oh, that offends me? Oh. Everywhere you go, you start talking about things that God stands for, and people will say, oh, that offends me. So we've compromised. Well, I say we, our nation, our churches, and me, myself, and I. We've come up with euphemisms, a substitute of an agreeable or inoffensive expression for one that may offend or suggest something unpleasing, soft words or something that's not harsh. Now, I'm going to give you some examples in a natural way. And I don't mean for none of these to be comical, but I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. You know, when I was a child, we called the men that came around and picked up our garbage, garbage collectors. Now they're sanitation engineers. Because nobody wants to be a garbage collector. Because that's offensive. So we've come up with a euphemism to be a sanitation engineer. People used to be night watchmen. Now they're security guards. Because, you know, I'd rather be a security guard than a night watchman. Now, these are just some examples. Used to, you'd go to a used car lot and buy a used car. Now they're pre-owned vehicles. Because, see, nobody wants a used car. I do. But it's better to tell somebody, I have a pre-owned vehicle. See, this is how subtle changes even come in. I remember as a child, around a little town called Alpharetta and Roswell, you always had the town drunk. And he was called the town drunk. Anybody come from a little town, you know that you've always had them. But they used to be called drunkards. But now you don't want to offend them, so you call them alcoholics. I think you see where I'm going with this. The Bible says that anything of sexual activity outside of marriage is adultery and fornication. But that's offensive. So we call it now open marriage or living together. The Bible calls young men and young women outside of marriage virgins. But see, that's not cool anymore. Well, it's pretty cool when Mary was called a virgin.
Yes, it was.
And it still is today for boys and girls.
Yes. Amen.
Young men and young women. Because that's what the Bible calls them. And then there's issues that's been euthanized.
Sure.
Wives and mothers. That stays home with their children. Has been so demeaned. And so put down. And I've put down in here, and I've had this wrote down for a long time. I don't know where the saying came from, but I got it somewhere. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And who's rocking the cradles of most of our families today? Kindercare. Daycare. One of the greatest careers for a woman found in the Bible is to be a wife and a mama. And it's a full-time job. It's not popular, I can tell. I'll see your faces. And there's a lot of things that comes up and takes a lot of imagination because people don't want to be offended. The Bible calls people that are homosexual sodomites. That's not popular because that offends people. I know it does. I spoke on the whole thing of it at the preacher's meeting. I know. And these things today hits close to home to a lot of us. But for the church and the issues facing the church, there's a road ahead. And we're going to have to face these. And just because the United States government has legalized it doesn't make it right. Abortion is still murder, and same-sex marriage is still fornication and adultery. And the one that just, as my expression been today, just blows my mind is how that the homosexual movement has stole so much from Christianity and God's Word. That a sodomite can call themselves gay, and there's nothing gay about them. Go to James chapter number 2.
those that put on the gay clothing. When I was a child, somebody that was gay was happy and boisterous and joyful and loved to live life. They stole the rainbow from us. The rainbow was given to Noah as a covenant that he wouldn't destroy the earth no more by rain. And this movement has stole it from biblical Christianity. The two things, gay and rainbows. And you know what, folks? We need to get it back. It belongs in the Bible. And I guess the things that over the last 3 weeks now that we've seen, I want you to read with me in Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 3. There's roles and responsibilities for everybody. In the church, there's roles and responsibilities for the pastor, for the other ministers, for deacons, for lay male members and lay female members. There's roles and responsibilities. We can go to Titus chapter number 2 and get a whole list of them. We can go to Timothy and get the roles and responsibility for a bishop, an elder, a deacon. We can go to Ephesians chapter number 5 and get the roles and responsibilities for parents and for children. We've got a thorough furnisher of every good work.
Right.
We don't have to reinvent the manual. We have the manual. Amen. We just need to know how to use the manual.
Amen.
Somebody was told, I heard it years ago, that getting married and having children was only thing that you do that you didn't have the instruction book to go with it. Well, I beg to differ with them.
That's right. Amen,
I've got 4 children. My oldest one's married, and I got a 14-month-old grandbaby. He's the finest boy ever. He's a fine one. If you don't believe me, just ask his mama. Got 3 other children. And every one of them's getting married again, getting married this year. One of them in 2 weeks from Saturday. Then another one in September. And then another one in November. I've been trying to instruct them and will continue to instruct them out of the manual.
That's right. Amen, brother.
But most of the time is, I know you men folk not going to be like me, but you are really. Because you're men. You remember the first swing set you ever tried to put together? I don't need that instruction book. I put it together by looking at the pictures.
Mercy.
Yeah. It was legs sticking out this way and that way. Why? Because I didn't pay attention to the manual.
Right.
You know what I had to do?
Yep.
Got Deborah down there. She read it to me. And And I put it together. And it sure did work out better when we worked together on that. That's according to the manual. And for you to have a happy marriage, you need to do it according to the manual. It's right here in front of us. Just ask the expert. It's written in English. You don't need an interpreter. This is not going to need no interpreting, what I'm fixing to read. But it hits home to what's happened in America over the last 2 weeks. Well, let's just begin reading verse number 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judea the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient. You know who the ancient are? All of us old folks. I'm one of the ancient now. And I don't mind being called that, the Bible called. But he's talking about the leaders, mighty men, men of war, judges, prophets, prudent, and the ancient. The captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artifactor, and the eloquent orator. And listen to what the Bible says. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Now, I know when I come to Arkansas, I come to Walmart country. So I'm not going to say nothing bad about Walmart. Because it could be Kroger, Publix, Buy-Rite, Targets. I won't say Kmart, but any shopping center you want to go into, and you see that happening. When the child is ruling the parents. And you know what? We've come to a time that the parent has to be careful how he tends to that child. Now, when I was a child and I did act that way, right then, my mama jerked a knot in my hind end. Right then, she didn't look at Randall and say, "I'll wait to get you home." No, it was right then. But you see where we've got to? That's the road ahead, folks. Why? Because we've spared the rod. We've spoiled the child. And we spared the rod because the Bible says that you hate the child. Ooh. That's hard, isn't it? But the rod is an instrument of judgment. It brings back some bad memories on my backside. Now, most of mine was just a hickory switch. Sometimes it was a leather belt. But I never knew And my daddy would cry with tears before he inflicted judgment on my backside. And he would say, "Son, this hurts me a whole lot more than it does you." I didn't understand it until I had to do it. And I knew what my daddy meant. My daddy did it because he loved me.
That's exactly right.
And I got a whole lot more whippings from my mama than I did my daddy. Why? Because I was with my mama all the time. But if mama ever said, and there was a few times that mama'd say, "Wait till your daddy gets home." That was a long day on Kegel Road. But that's even the structure in the church. The Bible says the church needs to be structured enough to discipline. And who does the discipline? The bride. The mother of us all. Why? Because they're with us. But sometimes even the church has to be like my mama and say, "Wait till your daddy comes home." There was a problem in this day that all this that was going on, all these captains and all these honorable men says, "I give them over to children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Listen to verse number 12. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." There's a role and responsibility for women, even in our society today. Now, I was raised up through the 60s. Now, I was young. But I know what hippies look like. I know what the women movement was like in the 60s. Been there, seen it. And that was the road ahead that probably should have been preached more then than it is now. But it wasn't. And we need to be like Daniel. And ask for forgiveness for ourselves and the forgiveness of our fathers before us. And Nehemiah, he prayed that same prayer Daniel did. Because this just didn't happen in my generation. It started in the generation before. "As for my people, children shall be their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and to destroy the way of thy paths." You think, "Well, preacher, that's Old Testament Nehemiah." Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul told the young preacher Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days," you know where we're at right now?
we're in the last days. They were in the last days then too. And it's going to be the last days till the Lord comes back and parts the sky in the morning of the resurrection. I don't know if it's going to be morning or not, but we call it the morning, and I guess it's a good term because it's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new day dawning when the Lord comes back and the shout and the voice of the archangel. But until that time, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Huh. You ever see that? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Romans chapter number 1, God turned them over to things that are not convenient. Women with men, women with women, and men with men. That's not convenient. It's against nature, folks. The Bible says it's against nature. Most all of you folks have been farm folks. I love talking to that brother about his farm. I can walk out in a herd of cattle or in a flock of sheep or in goats or horses and I can pick out the male and the female. Because there's some obvious things right there that lets me know that it's a male and a female. We ought to be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman. Because some things are just not natural. The Bible says it's not natural for a man to have long hair. Now, I've raised up in the 60s. I raised up when they was some pretty long hair. Well, how long's too long? I don't know. All I do know is that the woman's hair ought to be longer than the man's. Ought to. Because there's some things out there that's not natural that's going on today. Without natural affection, truce breakers. People can't keep their word today. I remember seeing my daddy make an agreement with a man to buy property. And you know what all they did was? Stuck out his hand and shook his hand. They didn't draw up no contract. Why? Because a man's word was his bond. Just to let you know, don't try that today. Because it won't work. Yes, sir, it did then. False accusers. Incontinent. Unable to restrain or control sexually. That's what that word means. Oxford English Dictionary. Fierce. Whew. Hadn't we seen that in the last 8 years? Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Of such, turn away. Why do you think, children of God, when I spoke to you last night about not despising the small things and don't sweat
you better sweat the small things. Because, see, everybody today thinks it's got to be the biggest, the best. In Christianity and churches, you've got to have everything out there.
That's right.
And the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but the denying the power thereof.
Yes. Yes.
This little group right here could be the same way if they're denying the power of the sovereign God that's in control of everything that's out there.
Yes, sir.
And has a hand on things out there that we don't give him credit for. For of this sort are they which creep in to houses. They sneaking in, folks. And leading captive silly women. Now that word silly right there, I'm going to tell you what it means. It's not laughing and having a good time. It's talking about feeble, frail, and weakly. That's why we need strong women in the church.
That's right.
We need Titus 2 women in the church.
Amen.
That won't be carried away with every wind of doctrine. That will be there. You older women, be there for the younger women.
Amen.
Hold their arms up when times are rough. Why? Because you've been there and done that. Somebody said wisdom is what you learn. Well, wisdom is what you learn from somebody else. Learn something from somebody else. You young folks, you got a question? Go see these older women there.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them. Put them on the spot. Feeble, frail, weakly women laden with sins and led away with diverse or different forms of what is right or good. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, that's what we live in today. Boy, let's just get more education. Just get education. And that, I'm not down in education. You get what you can. But you get the wisdom of the Bible to go with it. And I close with this thought, is that the two things that I see of great harm today is when God established marriage and families. And what was my first scripture? If the foundation destroyed, who can stand? And our enemy is trying to destroy the foundation of the family, trying to destroy the foundation of marriage, trying to destroy the foundation of being fruitful and multiply. Those things that God created in the garden is trying to be undermined and destroyed. What undermines foundations more than anything? Things that gets up under the foundation and erodes the soundness of the ground that it's on. See, the abortionists will shake their fist at God, and the homosexual will shake their fist at God and destroy the very image of God. Call you the bad person. All the confrontation that's going on today is what God's word says
about these issues? And we've got the answer. We've got the questions. You know what the question is? Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.
That's right.
Who's on the Lord's side?
Amen.
You know what the other question is? Is there a bomb in Gilead? Is there a physician there? Of course there's medicine. But the medicine don't do any good that the doctor gives you if you take the prescription home and put it away in the closet. You've got to take that script to the pharmacy. You've got to get it filled. You've got to take it. And sometimes the medicine we think does a lot of harm before it does good. Yes, there's a bomb in Gilead. You know who his name is? His name is Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. All this that I've talked about, and those that's children of God, there's room for repentance. There's a room for change. There's a room for gospel.
Amen.
And we better make room in the church for a repentant sinner that's coming home, that's changed their life and their lifestyle.
Amen.
To walk in the ways of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.